From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled Help from Without. The text is Isaiah 41 and verse 10, Yea, I will help thee. Yesterday's promise secured us strength for what we have to do, but this guarantees us aid in cases where we cannot act alone. The Lord says, I will help thee. Strength within is supplemented by help without. God can raise us up allies in our warfare, if so it seems good in His sight. And even if He does not send us human assistance, He Himself will be at our side, and this is better still. Our august ally is better than legions of mortal helpers. His help is timely. He is a very present help in time of trouble. His help is very wise. He knows how to give each man help meet and fit for him. His help is most effectual, though vain is the help of man. His help is more than help, for He bears all the burden and supplies all the need. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Because He has already been our help, we feel confidence in Him for the present and the future. Our prayer is, Lord, be Thou my helper. Our experience is, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Our expectation is, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And our song soon will be, Thou, Lord, hast helped me.
Worship You today.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In the Epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul explains the meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its fullness. A clear understanding of the book of Romans is more important than ever in the light of current reappraisals of Paul's writings. As Dr. Cairns emphasized in his first message, any preaching of the gospel that is not based on Paul's exposition of it in Romans is not biblical. In his salutation to this epistle, Paul defined the gospel of Jesus Christ as the gospel of God. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce his second message, entitled The One and Only Apostolic Gospel.
The Bible reading tonight will be brief, because having last week started with an attempt to understand the great theme of the entire book of Romans, we start this evening at verse 1. It's always a good place to start. Romans 1 and verse 1, where we read the words, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, And the sentence is finished in verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I pointed out last Lord's Day evening, the subject of this book is the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood-bought righteousness which God has provided in Christ for the salvation of guilty sinners to be received by faith alone. The subject then, the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood-bought righteousness provided by God for believers in Christ. The whole book is an exposition upon that subject. As I pointed out last week in verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1, the apostle refines and defines that subject rather more narrowly, where he gives us a great statement of theme. And we took some time to look at that last Sabbath evening. Now we come to see how he reaches that theme. It's going to take a week or two to do this, because for the most part, when people are going through these opening verses of Romans, they treat them semi-topically, or just linguistically, or they take them subject by subject, and each little part seems to be an island of truth on its own. There are so many great things in these opening verses that, to be honest, it's very, very difficult to resist the temptation to do that. This is some of the most glorious language and some of the most thought-provoking language in all the New Testament. However, every part of the greeting, the salutation, that's verses 1 through 7, and every part of the introduction, which takes us from verse 8 through verse 15, every part of it intimately stands related to the theme that is announced in verse 16 and 17. We're going to look at how Paul starts the epistle and how that is related to the theme. Now, when we write a letter, we normally place the name of the addressee right at the beginning. If it's a business letter, up there, although this is all being changed by the garbage of email, where the English language is being murdered more and more, punctuation's being dropped, capitalization's being dropped, and everybody, the more educated you are, the more you try to look like you're a lunatic and an uneducated idiot. But that's by the way. I didn't say any of that. Don't want to get off on that theme. But in a business letter, to this day, you still have, under the date, the name and the address of the person to whom you're writing. And then immediately you say, dear so-and-so, or dear sir, dear madam, or, in these days, Ms. Another abomination of the English language. My, how I'm tempted to get off on a tangent tonight. Dear Ms. You write that sort of thing, you need a bucket beside you, but dear Ms. Anyway, that's how we start a letter. And very often, usually indeed, you don't even mention your own name until the very bottom. Signed, so-and-so. If you're a doctor, that's what people say, so-and-so, because they can't read it. If you're Mike Barrett, the same thing. Now, in ancient times, they did it very differently. Here in Romans, Paul commences the epistle, as he commences all his epistles, except Hebrews, which is a special case, by introducing himself. And then, at the end of the greeting, he addresses the recipients. So verse 1 and verse 7 supply the details of the writer and the readers. Paul, 2, verse 7, all, and he's talking about all the saints that be in Rome, beloved of God. But the fact that there are 6 whole verses that are full of important material intervening between the identity of the writer and the identity of the readers should tell us that this greeting is a whole lot more than the nominal kind of greeting that we have at the beginning of a letter. I mean, if we're writing a letter, we could be writing a letter to the greatest rascal in creation, somebody whose very name makes us sick. And we, how do we start it off? Lyingly, hypocritically, dear so-and-so. And they're not a bit dear to us at all. It's just the way we write. Remember when we, I don't know if they do this in Spanish now, but in Spain, when they were writing a letter, they always signed it at the bottom where we said, yours sincerely, yours faithfully, etc. They used to put it QBSM, which meant que besas humano, who kisses your hand. Of course, there's many a hand there you wouldn't have let within 40 feet of you. But that's what you had to write. That was dictated by good manners. Now, this greeting was a whole lot more than that sort of formal hello or dear saints in Rome. It was more than a way of getting the letter started. Now, obviously, it was a way of getting the letter started, but it did a whole lot more than that. Everything Paul says in this salutation bears immediately upon the theme that he's about to lead into in verses 16 and 17. Remember what he said in verses 16 and 17. Let me simplify the theme that he's there stating. He says, I have a glorious and I have a powerful message for the world. God has revealed a perfect righteousness in Christ to be received by faith alone for the justification of guilty sinners. That's the message I have. Now in verse 1, he immediately gives us his title for this message. He calls it the gospel of God. This is the gospel of God. Now there are many ways in the New Testament in which the gospel is described. I'm not sure that there's one place where it is actually defined. And I think that is by great wisdom. When you define something, you set the limits of its meaning. How can human language set the limits of the meaning of the gospel? So you have aspects of the definition of the gospel here and there, and you have description upon description. And the more you look into them, the more you realize that they really come back to the same great basic doctrines and truths. They are not competing descriptions. For example, John 3:16 is a glorious, almost definitive description of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the more you look at that, the more you understand why Martin Luther looked on that text as a little Bible. Because the more narrowly you look at John 3:16, the more you see that it has almost all the elements of Scripture in it that you need to have for an understanding of the gospel. When Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, you know that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained, but was in these last times revealed for you who do by him believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory. He's giving us a wonderful description of the gospel. And again, so full as to approach being a definition. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 15 and said, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What he is giving us is a wonderful summary of the gospel. And as you look at all these summaries and descriptions, you'll find that they overlap to a great degree, and they cover the same doctrinal area. But here in Romans, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, while he's writing a pastoral epistle, he's writing as a pastor. He's writing with a burden for the saints of God, that he may lead them into a deep knowledge of what they are and have in Christ. Why, that is true. Yet he is giving the most precise, if we could use the word, the most scientific analysis of the gospel anywhere to be found in the Word of God. And here he defines it as the gospel of God. And I want you to keep that in mind as we proceed to consider it. Now, when he makes that claim for this message, understand what he's saying. What is this doctrine of release from the guilt of sin and being clothed in righteousness without doing anything at all to merit it, but by faith alone in the merits of Christ alone, whereby his righteousness is imputed to you? What is this doctrine? It is the gospel of God. It is not something on the periphery of the Christian revelation. It is not something that is secondary in the Christian revelation. It is the very essence of the gospel of God. And it is impossible to be preaching the gospel unless you are preaching that Paul herein expounds. Now, that's easy for me to say, but I want you to know, because I am very much aware of what I'm saying, that statement nullifies the right of most of what is being preached in pulpits across the world today to be called the gospel. Understand that. The fact that a man gets up and says, I believe this Bible is the inspired word of God, does not mean he's preaching the gospel. The fact that a man could go down the list of statements of doctrinal truth that have been adopted, say at the World Congress of Fundamentalists, and I'm not saying that to denigrate that list. I helped to have it put on the floor and signed. And signed it myself. I'm all in favor of it. But the fact that a person can checkmark each of those great doctrines does not say that when he preaches, he's preaching the gospel. Paul is saying here, this is the gospel of God. He's being very narrow. If you want, he's being very intolerant. You'll find as we go on that that's a mark of truth. It does not tolerate error. And it does not tolerate deviations from itself. This is the gospel of God.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.